We are in a series out of the book of James entitled Just Live It. And as I've told you many times, we've been out for a couple weeks. But as I've told you many times before, James has that kind of in-your-face, just say it like it is kind of personality. James comes and he says, so you say you are a Christian, then live like you are a Christian. That's just how James is. He's saying this. He's saying, as a Christian, stop playing around and just live it. You need to be serious about who you say you are. That's kind of like what Randy just did. He wants to be serious about what he's about, okay? And so we took a little break over the past couple of weeks, but today I want to dig back in, and I've entitled this sermon, The War Within. The War Within. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you and thank you, Father, for your awesome presence and your awesome work in this body. Father, we are so blessed by you. You are a good, good God. And we are just thankful that, Father, that we, in whom you have put out the call to become your children, we, your church, that could come here, Father, that we bow humbly before you and ask, Father, for your presence to move, for your spirit to move, and Father, that in us, in me. And so, Father, I just pray that as we seek your word, Father, that we, Father, will give you the authority over our lives and that we will live a life that you would be glorified with and in. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for the awesome privilege to come into this place. And, Father, as always, if I am not the one to speak, Father, I pray that you would silence my lips. Father, I need you to forgive me of my sins. You know that I have committed them. And so, Father, I am just really not worthy, but through your blood. Father, I ask for the forgiveness of those sins and that you would allow me to speak. If I am not the one to speak, that you would rise up the one to speak in my place. Father, also, as we spoke about who's your one, Father, we want to go ahead and pray for those. We want to pray for those in this basket and all the ones that are on our hearts. Father, that you will begin to work in us, Father, to see the need to pray, see the need to reach the lost. So, Father, when we stop doing that as a church, then we are on the road to failure. So, Father, put it in our hearts, Father, to take that time to pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 60 or 70 years ago, somewhere around the 1950s or 60s, now I don't remember them. All right. I mean, I was born in 61, but by the time I was old enough to remember, it was the 70s. All right. So listen, the 50s and the 60s, as best as I can determine, if you were to go down the street and you were to go down the street and do a survey, knocking on doors, asking people this question, what is sin? If you weren't here last Wednesday night, you need to get a copy of the Bible study last Wednesday night. It was absolutely awesome. And it addressed some of these very things that I'm talking to you about today. But if you were to go door to door and ask people, what is sin? They would probably have given you a pretty good biblical definition of what sin is. Sin is breaking God's standard. Sin is rebelling against the biblical standard that we find in the Word of God. I personally say it's treason against God. But really, God has a standard. He has a word that he comes out here and he says, do not. And we do. And we break those. So we break the standard of God. Well, 60 or 70 years ago, there was this framework, this worldview that understood that it was best for our society to adhere to biblical standards. And even those who were lost understood that. Even those who were lost would even adhere to these standards. But something started to happen long before that. In the early 1900s, it started in higher education and over the last 60, 70, 80 years has filtered down now to every level so that even in kindergarten, we are embracing a worldview that is what? Evolutionary in nature. We are embracing a worldview that is evolutionary in nature, and it changes, and that changes everything. And it changes everything about the way that you see life. It's the way it changes everything in how you perceive life. For instance, there used to be this understanding of what family was. A family was a unit of a male and a female and possibly children. And that unit was established by God for the underpinning of society and for the education, training, and rearing of the next generation so that we didn't become total barbarians. But now, that is no longer the understanding of family. For instance, understanding of human sexuality used to be a man and a woman, and we understood it that way. But now it's a man and anything you want it to be, or a woman and anything you want it to be. And it has changed everything about our society. The endless debates and coverage about this in our media is endless, but it's changed everything in our society. And so when you come back today and you ask people this question today, what is sin? They say, there's no such thing. They do. Because here's what they say. They'll say things like, well, you don't understand. What may be wrong for you is not wrong for me. Or what might be right for you may not be right for me. What they're saying is, I am who I am, and you are who you are, and I am not responsible for who I am, and I'm not responsible for the actions that come along with that. I am who I am. That's just the way I am. That's just the way I was born. That's who I am, and I can't change it. Listen, slippery, slippery slope to go down. Because on some topics, we're beginning to have acceptance in those things. But watch. If I would come to you and say, listen, I'm going to put myself out here, all right? This is just an example. Let's say that I'm a pedophile. That's just who I am. That's how I was born. Oh, you don't like that, do you? But see, we become accepting on some of these other things now. But why? Because we think that there's no sin, right? Or listen, I'm a rapist. Well, you don't like that. But on some of these other things that God says no in His standard, right? But we come now to say, what is sin? And we say, well, there really isn't a sin. There really isn't a sin. That has become the mindset of our day. And you say, where is there truth about life? Where is there truth about our behavior? Where do you find the parameters of life? What sets those parameters? Well, you find it in the Word of God, right? Because we are not evolutionary. We are created, okay? We didn't hear by accident. We're here by purpose. You find it in the Word of God, and that's what you come to James chapter 4. And James says, I'm going to tell you where your problem comes from. That's West James, right? I'm going to tell you where your problem comes from. Listen to me. You don't need to go to Dr. Phil. Now, watch. I have absolutely nothing personally against Dr. Phil. I've watched Dr. Phil. But I don't go to him for my counseling. I don't go for him for my spiritual help. You see what I mean? I have nothing against Dr. Phil, against him. He's probably a great, good guy. I don't know him personally. I've watched him give some good advice. But listen, that's not where I need to go. But when it comes to God's truth, you go to His Word, and James comes, and he's going to shoot you straight. He's going to set you straight. He's going to point it out to you so that you understand it. You listen. Understand, you won't stand before Dr. Phil in the end. But you will stand before God. And James, the brother of Jesus Christ, reveals the truth of God about how we are to live. When we come up there, we can't say, well, Dr. Phil said. Because he's going to say, but I said. Okay, so we got to get this. He will tell you, James will tell you exactly where your problem is and where your quarrels, where your problems come from, where your quarrels come from, where your conflicts come from. Like, why do we always have so many fights in our families? We start out by looking at the basis of family. Why are families such turmoil, such a wreck? Why are families torn apart? Why are there always so many quarrels down at the school? Why is there so much upset at the church? Listen, have we gone through upset in this church? Oh, Why are we always upset with the person, this person or that person? Why are there always these quarrels and conflicts? And they seem to be relentless. Why is there this constant warring among us? Where does it come from? Well, let's look in James chapter 4, verse 1 to find out. Look what it says there, beginning there in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? This is exactly what I set up, right? Where do wars and fights come from among you? And what is he going to show? And what he's going to show you is this. When there is conflict with others, there is conflict on the inside. Meaning this, your conflict with this, with others is because of a conflict within yourself. Now, he will show you this, and I want you to see this because I believe it is so practical and it is so helpful. Where do these problems in my life come from that keep cropping up, that keep disrupting, that keep bringing conflict and turmoil in my life? Where do these situations come from? Well, number one, I want you to look at this. I want you to look at the source of the conflict. James says, what is the source? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? Now, that word desires there means lust, pleasures, lust or pleasures. And that word desires there, it means an unwholesome or an unrighteous desire, spiritually unhealthy desires that are inside of you, inside of your flesh. And so he says there, do they not come from your desires? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? In other words, it's plain as I say, James is a straight shooter. In other words, this James is saying, is it the problem is you? The problem is you. The problem is the sin in your life. Now, you see, that's not a good thing for a preacher to say to people if I want to grow a crowd, is it? Y'all feeling really glad that you showed up right now, aren't you? Yeah, if I want to draw a crowd, this is not the kind of thing that I want to say or the thing I want to preach. But listen, it is a good thing to say if you want the truth in your life. It is a good thing to say if you want the truth in your life. So put your finger right there in James chapter 4, and let me take you over to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. Listen to this, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Look what it says there. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. If you were at the men's breakfast on Saturday, Jim McVicker said this very thing. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now listen, there were some men that was testifying to this exact thing. That men just opened up and just talked about these things that they were doing that they knew that they hated themselves for, but they still did it anyways. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. In other words, he says, I know what's right to do. I know what the right thing is. I know what the right thing to do is. And I know what the wrong thing to do is. In my mind, I know. Amen. Amen. In my mind, I know. Nobody needs to tell me. I already know this. I know that drunkenness is wrong, but I do it anyways. I know that stealing is wrong, but I do it anyways. Or for instance, how about this one? I get a couple in for counseling, and they've been fussing and fighting and ongoing and at each other's throat all the time. And I look at the husband, and I say, listen, husband, tell me what is the right thing that a husband is to do in a marriage. You know what he'll do? He'll give me all the right answers. Why? Because he's been taught them. He gives me all the right answers. He'll say things like, well, I need to love my wife. I need to protect my wife. I need to spend time with her. I need to be the head of the spiritual household, my spiritual household. And he'll give me the list. And then I'll say, well, then why aren't you doing that? And he'll say, well, let me tell you something, Pastor. Let me tell you what she did. And then it goes on and on. She did this and she did that. She didn't do this. Right? Right? It's just on and on. All these things that she's not doing right or the things that she should do, she's not doing. You see, he knows what is right. but is justifying his wrongdoing by what he believes she's doing wrong. Now, I want you to understand something. The whole time he's doing it, he knows he is wrong. So what is he really, truly saying? He says, what he's saying to me is he's looking here, he's saying, I know it right here, but look at verse 17. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And this is the war within. I've got sin in my life, and I know it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, for I know that in me nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I want to do what's right, but I just don't ever do it. Any amens? Your pastor's amening in himself. Amen, pastor. Listen, I want to do what's right, but I just don't ever do it. Look what verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. This is Paul talking. He says, I've got something going on in my body, in here. It's in my mind. It's in my conscience. It's a war. It's a conflict inside of me. It's the spirit versus my flesh. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Who in here does not delight in the law and the Word of God? I delight in that. I like to be in the Word of God. I like to sit under good Bible study, good preaching, good counsel. I love it. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I agree with what God has to say. Right? We agree with what God has to say. Look, verse 22. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, meaning the flesh. Therefore, I'm at battle inside of myself, where my mind is telling me what God wants me to do, but my body has a different idea. You've been often told that you got this angel on this shoulder and the devil on this one. A war within. Look at verse 24, O wretched man that I am. When was the last time you approached God like that? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of what? Death. And you say, well, that's exactly where I am. I just can't help myself. You're looking and say, that's exactly where I am. I just can't help myself. You know what? You're right. You can't. But listen very carefully to me. As a Christian, you can't use that as an ongoing excuse. Why? Because God has given us help. He did not leave us alone. He did not leave us as orphans. He did not leave us to fail because he wasn't present. He is. Look here. Notice in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to do it by yourself. That's why we fail so miserably inside of our families, inside of our life, and the events. And that's why we fail, because we're trying to do it ourselves. You don't have to do it yourself. Listen, there is an answer for the problem of sin in the life of a believer. There is an answer for sin in the life of a believer. There is an answer to sin in the life of a believer. And if you don't say amen, go home. There is an answer for the problem of sin in the life of a believer. Thank you, Jesus. Now go back to James. Now look what he says. You remember that, when we go back, that little song that we used to sing as kids? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down below. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. We ought to sing this every Sunday, right? Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. It's better when Mike leads. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. There's a Father up above, and he's looking in on your lunch table. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Why? Because sin affects my hands. Sin has affected my hands. Be careful, little feet, where you go. It affects my feet. It has affected my life. That's what James is saying here. Paul and James are saying the same thing. Paul and James are saying, my problem is me. He says, what you've got going on is this unsatisfied pleasure that's driving you. Honestly, that is so true. There's this unsatisfied pleasure. Listen, the reason a lot of times that you're sinning is to please yourself. Not God. Sin is unsatisfied because you're unsatisfied with some pleasure that you want in your life. In the words of Mick Jagger, I can't get no. Right? Listen, I have unsatisfied pleasure. You know, verse 2, look what it says. You lust and do not have. And it's driving you up a wall. Right? You want more than what you have. You know, I've got two cars, so I want three, right? I got a Harley, but I want a trike, right? I've got this size house, and I want that size house. I've got this position, but I want that position. And I've got this drive in me that goes unsatisfied, and even when I get it, it doesn't satisfy that drive inside. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's sin in my life. That wasn't meant for you either, brother. I see you laughing down here. Listen, there's why? Because I'm unsatisfied because there's sin in my life. You've got this unsatisfied pleasure. You lust and you do not have. So what do you have? Well, he comes and this uncontrolled passion. I've got this uncontrolled emotion going on inside of me, you know, often leading to things like adultery, fornication, sexual immorality, unwholesome relationships, drugs, alcohol, food. James says these things drives you to what is wrong. These unsatisfied pleasures, they drive you to what is wrong. And James says you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You do all these things that war inside of you, and you give over to all these things, but you still are not obtaining that pleasure, that fulfillment that you're looking for. Now, there is some debate with the commentators on this. I'll just throw that out there. There's some debate with the commentators on this, and they ask the question, did someone in the church actually commit murder? Well, that's not so far-fetched, is it? But some commentators say this, that he's talking about slander, and that is probably most likely, and the way I'm looking at it, is probably most likely because if you have your Bibles open and you look at verse 11 of chapter 4 of James, James is going to talk about slander. Look what it says, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So I think that's what he is saying. He says you slander someone because you're envious of someone else. And you begin to judge them because you're envious of them. You are envious of what they have. You are envious of their position. You're envious of their popularity or something. But if you remember back in chapter 3, I told you about teachers, right? Remember a few weeks ago? And I told you that it was the most honored profession in James's day. And if, right, a teacher, like, we look at teachers, oh, teacher. But in that day, this was the greatest profession, especially that of the Word of God, right? And you had all these people coming into the church, and the greatest gift was that of teaching. And so people were watching and people were looking, and they wanted that position. But people wanted to be revered like that. Meaning this, I want people to watch me, and I want people to listen to me and do what I tell them to do. Listen, that's the problem that you get caught up in when you're in a position of leadership and teaching, okay? And that's one of the reasons why he warns us that you're going to be judged twice as strict. Listen, you're coming, you say, well, I want people to listen to me. I want people to watch me. I want people to do what I say, that when I say something, they go do it. Wrong motivation. And so there was those seeking that position, and he says they are envious now. And what they're saying is, I want that. I want that position that that teacher has, and I can't get it, so I'm angry now, and I've got this frustration. And this frustration goes to a building tension. And this building tension goes into anger inside of you. And it'll sound like this when you get home. Why are you always so angry? Why are you always so mad? Why are you always finding... My wife asked me several times yesterday, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Nothing. She goes, well, it sort of seems like it. But I'm not saying anything. She says, that's it. I never not say anything, right? What? You know, because I have a lot of things going on in my life, and I'm trying to evaluate at how I'm going to get through those, and it's constantly on my mind. But here's what I'm saying is this thing begins to build up, and it builds from frustration, and it goes to tension, and then it goes to anger. Now watch what he says. You're envious and covenant and cannot obtain. And so, look, you fight in war. Meaning this, what is going on the inside comes out. What's taking place on the inside of you comes out. So if we could take a video camera of you all last week, what's going on the inside of you will be revealed by all your actions throughout the week. So I'm going to slander this person and see if I can't drive him or her out of this position, and then I'll take the control over that position because I'm envious of that. He said, this is going on in the church. This is going on amongst believers. So where are all these quarrels and conflicts coming from in the church? They're coming because you and I have an unsatisfied pleasure. And you have uncontrolled passion in your life. And what do? Well, let me tell you what you don't do. And I'm guilty of this too. You don't pray. You don't seek God. Look what he says at the end of verse 2. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. We find ourselves, our life in this situation, in these times, and we don't even spend time in prayer. We don't go before God in prayer, seeking God's will for our lives, seeking God's will for your marriage, seeking God's will for your family, seeking God's will for the church. You don't spend time in prayer over the unhealthy passions like drugs, alcohol, the search for power and position. And you say, that's right. I do that because I don't get what I ask for when I ask. When I ask, I don't get what I ask for. So I just stop praying. Look at verse 3. God is so good, isn't he? Look at verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You're not really asking for God's will. You're asking God to fulfill your will. John Ward was a member of the British Parliament sometime in the 1700s. He was a very influential man in his day, and he held title to many, many properties. He was a very rich man. And when he died, they found this prayer that he had written. This is his actual prayer that he had wrote. And I'm going to read it to you. O Lord, thou knowest that I have mine estates in the city of London, and likewise that I have lately purchased an estate in the county of Essex. I beseech thee to preserve the two counties from fire and earthquake. And as I have mortgage in Hertfordshire, I beg of thee likewise to have an eye of compassion on that county. As for the rest of the counties, thou mayest deal with them as thou art pleased. Actual prayer. But let's be truthful, is that not the way we pray? Sounding familiar. God, I want you to bless what I have, and I want you to bless what I do. I want you to bless my plan. I want you to bless my will. I want you to bless me how I want to be blessed, because I know what's best for me. I already got the outcome, Lord. I just need you to get on board to make it happen. But for everything else, Lord, you can just rain down fire on everybody else. I really don't care what happens to those other people in those other counties and those other places, those other churches. I don't really care. You just rain down fire on all of them. Especially you can do that if it benefits me. That's what James is saying right here. That this attitude is the source of wars and fights among you. So what is the source of quarrels and conflict in your life, in your family, in the church, in the schools? Well, that's right. I don't know who said that, but they're absolutely right. According to James, it's with you. Because there is this unsatisfaction that says this: I want something, and no matter what I get, I'm never satisfied. I'm upset with my brother. I'm upset with my mother-in-law. I'm upset with the guy down at the church. I'm upset with my boss. I'm upset with my spouse. I'm upset with my job. I'm mad over here with these people at the school. I'm mad over here at these people down here at work. And I've got all this stuff going on, and it's just relentless. It's just one thing after another that I'm just not satisfied with. And where's it all come from? James says it comes from you. It begins there. It's not everybody else. It begins in you. Now watch, I'm going to push the pause button right here because I have another 40 pages. This is a big topic. I'm going to push the pause button on this message right here because the Spirit's telling me to. Because this is what I know. I know that many of you right now are in the midst of conflict. And I'm going to tell you this. This conflict has been ongoing. It's been a constant conflict. And there is a war that's raging within. And you wonder, where is this coming from? You ask yourself the question, when is it going to stop? That's what it might sound like. Well, I think today that it would be good for each one of us to take inventory. For each one of us to evaluate, is it me, Lord? I think that we need to go to the Lord, each of us individually, and go before the Lord and not ask Him to fix it, but to reveal to us what the problem is or who the problem is. Why? Because we want to seek the righteous outcome of God. You know, we have a good, good Father, right? He's not against you. He's rooting for you. He's not up there waiting for Zeke to mess up and to squash him like a bug. He's up there rooting for Zeke. No, Zeke, come on, man. You know better than that. Is that what we're talking about? You know better than that, man. You know better. You know that I'm for you. I'm not against you. You know that things are bleak right now, but you know that I'm working in this. But come on, man. You know what? Haas knows that too. So does Charlie, and I pray that you do too. God is for us, not against us. Why would we not seek Him? Not amiss. Not for Him to fulfill our wish list, but for Him to reveal to us. You know what will happen when that happens? If we seriously do this, revival. Revival will come out. Why? Because we want to purify ourselves before a holy God. We want to live up to His standard, not the world. Amen? Let's stand. Let's take some time to take a self-assessment. And I'm the reason for this conflict in my own life. Am I the reason for the conflict? in my own life. Am I the problem, Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Lord, am I the problem in the problem? You know, there are many of you experiencing this war within, and I know. And we need to evaluate, take inventory on where are we in this? Is it me, Lord? Don't go ask him to fix it. Ask him to reveal. Is it my own sin? Is it my own flesh? Is it my own desire? Is it my own lust? Is it my own desire for pleasure, Lord? Is the problem me, Lord? Listen, not my brother or sister, but me, Lord. It's not my mother or father, but is it me, Lord? Why? I'm talking about where conflicts usually are at in the family. It's not a stranger, or it's not a stranger or my neighbor, but is it me, Lord? I'm standing right here before you right now, Lord. I'm standing here right now in need of prayer. I'm in need of your counsel. I'm in need of your guidance. And there's one thing that I know. It begins by kneeling my heart before you, before a holy God seeking his will. Ask God to reveal you the problem. And listen, don't dismiss his answer. don't dismiss his answer if it's not what you want to hear. Because most likely he's going to give you something that you don't want to hear. Whoever wants to hear, I'm the problem. But don't dismiss it, but seek him and seek to repent and to turn from the sin. Because listen, you know, Open Door Baptist Church, you know. And you know what stuff you've been going through. And you know the stuff that shouldn't be there. And you need to repent. That means this. You're walking towards and in your sin, and you turn around and you walk towards God. Because listen to me. The war within ain't never going to resolve itself. I know that's not proper English. Listen, the war within ain't never going to resolve itself without the Lord's intervention. It ain't going to happen. And the Lord is not going to intervene. He's not going to bring you peace. He's not going to give you rest. And the conflict that you feel will consume your life until you are consumed with him. Until the desires of your flesh are replaced with the desires for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to come this morning and come before the Lord. I'm going to ask you to come and pray this morning. Why? Because that's where healings, that's where miracles come from. Come to him. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. So you come when the praise band begins. And listen, there are some of you here. Let me tell you something. You may need someone to pray with you. Listen, we need to be about this. You need someone to pray with you. You grab someone by the hand to come with you. Or listen, you'll be somebody up here. You just tell me, listen, I need somebody to pray with me. And if I'm praying with somebody, we'll get somebody to pray with you, all right? We are a family here. We are family. And if you need help, you ask someone in a family here to help you. That's what family does. Maybe you're here this morning. Listen, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen to me. Your conflict is with God. You may not even realize that there's a war going on within, but it's about God calling you into a relationship. You're not where you need to be before God, and you know it in here. But in here, you keep going the other direction. There's something not quite right in your life. You are longing for something to fill a void that you don't even really know what the void is. You can't explain it. Well, I'm here to tell you the truth. God created us to have a relationship with him. It will fill the biggest hole in your heart. If you don't have that relationship, then you have a void that will continue to be unfilled. And even that into eternity. So this morning I invite you to invite Jesus Christ into that hole of your heart. You've lived your entire life trying to satisfy yourself, and it's brought you to this place. The decision of your past haunts you, and your future looks bleak. But praise God, Jesus Christ came so that you would have a future and a hope. He's offering you forgiveness. for a life of bad decisions. He came from heaven to earth to settle the conflict and turmoil that life brings inside of us. Only He can change life. He can only change a life that's willing to turn to Him in repentance. Are you ready to ask Christ into your life and to forgive you of your sins? Are you ready to ask Him to fill you with your spirit and give you a hope that transcends all understanding? Listen, He stands ready to question to you. Father God, in this time, may we respond as we should according to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.